Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, that we have opportunities such as this yet again, Lord, to be in thine house and to have thy word before us. Father, we lean upon thee. We look to thee. We ask, Lord, that thy spirit would be here among us, that we would feel thy presence in our hearts, in our minds, as we read thy word, as we contemplate and meditate upon thy word and see how it is relevant and meaningful in our lives. And so we just pray, Lord, that the abundance of thy spirit would be with us and that he would bless us as we are gathered here. For we pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to continue with the story of Joseph and read from Genesis chapter 43 for this evening. Genesis chapter 43. And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, You shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took the present, and they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home, and slay, and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought again men unto Joseph's house. And the men were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us, and fall upon us, and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of the sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, "Peace be unto you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men unto Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph, came out at noon, for they had heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom ye spake? Is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. The Bible tells us that we are to add to our faith virtue, and to our virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. These things ought to be abounding within us. And we see scriptures such as this as it's being laid out to us and telling us how we ought to be and what our lifestyle and all about us ought to be. And we see that that's a tall order, and we need the Spirit's guidance, and we need the Spirit's grace and strength day by day that we might fulfill these things. And they are important to our lives, and we want to follow these things and grow in these things. But what's helpful is when we have an example of one who has followed in this way, and we see Joseph, that he has, that he had faith, that he knew that God was with him, and he was trusting in the Lord. He was virtuous. He was a virtuous man, and that was displayed in wherever he was, whether it was Potiphar's house or in the prison or in Pharaoh's house. He was a virtuous man. He had knowledge, and he used that knowledge that God had given him. He had temperance. He had that self-control about him in the environments that he was in. It was a foreign land. There were foreign places, foreign speech, foreign foods, foreign gods. But yet he exercised temperance and he exercised patience. While he was in the prison there, knowing that God had a purpose in all of this, his life, he was waiting on the Lord. He had patience while he was there in prison. And he maintained godliness. Again, whether it was in Potiphar's house, how he would not defile himself there, whether it was in the prison or in Pharaoh's house, it displayed godliness. And that godliness was made manifest, and God was with him. God was with this godly man of Joseph. And then we see he exercised brotherly kindness to his brothers. That was on display as well, and as well as charity. So we see this scripture, and the scripture is giving us direction in our lives of how we should live and what our lifestyle should be. And the beauty of it is that there are examples in the Bible of how it is that we can live and seeing others and how they lived. One very clear thing of Joseph's life is that he forgave his brothers. They treated him horribly, but he forgave them. It was a beautiful thing to see in Joseph's life, how he forgave them. Jesus taught us that when we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then as he concludes that prayer, teaching us how to pray, he says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. There is not a one of us here that don't need the forgiveness of our Father. We need his forgiveness in our lives. If the valve is open for forgiveness horizontally, one toward another, then the valve is open for forgiveness to come down from God to us. But if that valve is closed horizontally from one toward another, the valve is also closed for God's mercy coming down to us and his forgiveness. And so the Bible teaches us that very clearly. Jesus here is teaching us that. And though Joseph was treated terribly, sold and stripped of his coat of many colors, and all these things that happened to him, and slandered and placed in prison wrongfully, and all these things happened to him, yet he had a forgiving heart. And God blessed him, and God was with him. God's divine presence was with Joseph. And so we can see that laid out here in the scriptures. And Jesus also gives a parable of an unmerciful servant who owed his Lord a very large amount, and his Lord forgave that servant of that debt that he owed. But that servant went out and demanded that his fellow servant would repay a small amount that was due unto him. And Jesus concludes that parable by saying, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. And then Jesus says something very important here. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This is a teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not anything else. This is a teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are to forgive one another. It is very essential in our lives. If we want peace in our lives, we have to be forgiving. If we want God to be in our lives, we have to be forgiving. And so Jesus teaches that very clearly here, and we see that example in Joseph's life. The Bible also teaches us that we are to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that was Joseph. He was kind to his brothers. He was tender-hearted, and he forgave them. And it was truly a blessing to see that. Can we imagine what the story would be like if Joseph, who would have felt justified in treating his brothers horribly for what they did to him, and how different that story would be if Joseph, from his heart, did not forgive his brothers their trespasses? He could have retaliated against them. That would have been, humanly speaking, an appropriate thing to do, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he didn't do that. He showed them kindness. Jesus teaches, love ye your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Jesus says we can be the children of the highest when we do good to those who do evil against us. That's what Joseph did. He did good to those who did evil against him. And so we can see this teaching of Jesus Christ personified in Joseph's life. The Bible teaches us not to recompense evil for evil. But then the Bible teaches us furthermore of going beyond recompensing to no man evil for evil. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself," meaning that retaliation is forbidden. "Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath," which means put away wrath. Don't allow wrath to harbor in your heart. "Put away wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord." We give that judgment to the Lord and allow him to have the right vengeance toward an injustice. And so the Bible here continues in saying, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink." And that's what Joseph did. To his brothers, he gave them large portions of food, not only in the first time they came down to Egypt, but now as they're having this meal together, as we read this evening, and then also as he sends food home with them a second time back to the land of Canaan. We need the Lord's help. We can't do what he would ask of us without his grace and without his strength. We're saying here this evening, "Though some sorrow oft may prove me, yet I know that God doth love me." So as it was, as we read on Sunday and now again, that Joseph had severe sorrows in his life and great disappointments, and it was proving him, and yet he knew that God did love him. "Of my life he is the strength, who will help and save at length." It is God that will help, and it is God that will save at length when the time comes to its end, as it did for Joseph, and as it will for all of us. God's strength will be there, and he will save. So we picked up the reading this evening in chapter 43 at a time when the first year of the famine had expired, and the Joseph's brethren went back to Canaan, and they were eating with their father there, and the food ran out again. And so the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought up out of Egypt, their father said unto them, "Go again and buy us a little food." So Judah speaks unto him. Judah would be the last son, the fourth son of Jacob that he had with Leah. And perhaps I don't want us to remember these things, but I want us to remember that the teaching of forgiveness and the teaching of retaliation is forbidden according to the scriptures. And so Judah is speaking to Israel, his dad, which was also named Jacob. "The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, 'Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy food. But if you will not send our brother down with us to Egypt, then we can't go.' We told this man that we have a younger brother, and he said, 'Don't show up again without that younger brother.'" And Jacob's like, "Well, why did you do this? Why did you do this to me?" And all the brethren say, "Well, how were we to know what he was going to demand of us?" And so Judah says, "Well, I'll be a surety for him," meaning, I will take the responsibility for Benjamin as we bring him down there with us, and I'll take the blame forever if something happens." And so Israel, Jacob, he softens his heart and he says, "If it must be so, now do this. Take the best of the fruit of the land in your vessels and carry down the man a little, a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices, myrrh and nuts and almonds." And so he wants to send a gift down to this man. And God, again, he's orchestrating all these things. None of them know exactly what's going on, but God is orchestrating these things. And they had faith in the Lord, and they kept their virtue, and they had godliness in their lives, and they were patiently waiting for the Lord. And again, if we keep this in our hearts and in our lives will be blessed as Joseph's life was blessed. And we can be of surety that we can be sure that God will be with us. And so there was a little mix up perhaps that money was in their bags with their corn as they went home the first time back to the land of Canaan. So they were going to bring that money back plus extra money so that they can buy more food. And they were given permission by Israel, by their dad Jacob, to take Benjamin down, with them. And so they took it all and they went down to Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of the house, "These men, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." And so it is here that Joseph went from being in that prison, forgotten about by that butler, and just left there for over 2 years in prison. And now because he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he rose all the way up from the prison to second in command of all of Egypt immediately. But he maintained his godliness. But he maintained his virtuousness. But he maintained his faith in God. None of that spoiled him. He was focused on the Lord and keeping faith in God. And so now he has a ruler of his house. He went from being in prison to now he has a house that's so large and it needs maintained that he has a ruler to maintain his household as Joseph was himself for Potiphar. And he tells his the ruler of his house that they should make a feast and make ready. And it would happen at the noon hour. And so this man did as Joseph bade him to do. And the man brought these men into Joseph's house. And so now the brothers are afraid that they think, well, because that money was in our sacks, now we are going to get in big trouble for that, and we are going to be brought into his house. And but it wasn't so. It wasn't as they thought it would be. And so they come to the steward of Joseph's house, and they say, "Oh, sir," and they explain about how it happened that their money was still in the sacks and how they brought down other money. And the servant simply responds by saying, "Peace be unto you, fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." And then he brings out to them Simeon. Simeon had to stay back while all the other brethren went back to the land of Canaan. And so it's probably been a year's time from the first year of the famine to the second year of the famine, that they hadn't seen their brother Simeon. And so this servant is bringing out Simeon to them, and they're seeing each other now for the first time. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and they gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. They were very well taken care of. It says, "And when Joseph came home, they brought unto him the present which was in their hand, into the house, and they bowed themselves to the earth." They were being as gracious as they could to this great ruler of all of Egypt, besides Pharaoh himself, and had brought their gifts from their land there in the land of Canaan. And he asked them of their welfare, and he asked them beautifully. He said, "Is your father well? Is the old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive?" And they said, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive." And it says, and they bowed their heads and did obeisance. And so this is a fulfillment of that dream that Joseph had of himself when he was just but 17 years old. And as he told them that, "Well, it was my sheaf, and all of you as your sheaves were bowing to my sheaf," and also that he would be one where the sun and the moon and the 11 stars would make obeisance unto him. And here it was, the fulfillment of that dream that he had. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." Think of the tenderness of this moment. Joseph, seeing his full brother, they had the same mother and the same father, Rachel, and they see each other, and Joseph sees him now for the first time in what would likely be over 20 years' time. And he sees him for the first time, And surely this was a tender moment for Joseph as he sees his younger brother. And he says, God be gracious unto thee, my son. Joseph blesses Benjamin. And then Joseph breaks down, and he needed to weep. So he goes into a chamber, and he weeps there. And then he refrains himself. He washes his face, and he goes out, refrains himself, and says, set on bread. A man of temperance. And they set on for him by himself, for them by themselves. And so there were groups in this feast that they were about to have, the brothers, Joseph, and then also the Egyptians, because the Egyptians would not eat with Hebrews because that was an abomination to the Egyptians. And they ate one with another. And the Bible here says that he took and sent messes unto them from before him. Joseph had his food taken from him and from his feast that he had prepared, and he gives it to his brothers. And then also to Benjamin, he gave also five times as much, and they drank and were merry with him. A beautiful occasion. A beautiful occasion. Why? Because Joseph was a godly man. Because Joseph forgave his brothers, though they treated him horribly. It was a beautiful moment, and even a tender moment, because Joseph had no retaliation in his heart toward his brothers. It was a beautiful thing that had happened there. And so as the story goes, they made their way back home, but Benjamin had that silver cup in his bag, and they all came back, and it is at this point that Joseph reveals himself to them. And earlier, when they first met the first time, they were speaking to each other through a translator, and now Joseph is speaking to his brothers, and the Bible here is not speaking whether it was through a translator or not, but it was that they were speaking to each other. For it says in chapter 45, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them and stood by, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And the brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near unto me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. You sold me. It depends on the tenor of the voice and the attitude of the voice when he says that, you sold me unto the Egyptians. There was no bitterness in his voice when he said to them, you sold me to the Egyptians. And he says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Joseph had faith that he knew that God was orchestrating something here. There was many moving pieces. It wasn't a simple plan, a simple cause and effect. But there was many moving pieces. And Joseph had faith in God, that God was orchestrating something great here, and he knew that, for he said, for God did send me before you to preserve life. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph is declaring to them, this is the work of God. This is the work of God. Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So I'd like to close with the last verses here in Genesis just before Joseph's life expires. And sometimes when we're reading up here, it's easy for your minds to wander, but try to focus on here on what transpired here, because this is very important as part of the lesson from the life of Joseph. It says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him.'" They're still remembering. Long time ago, we treated him horribly. We did something really bad to us, to him. And he's gonna now that our dad is gone, now that our dad is out of the picture, he's going to retaliate now against us. And so they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brother also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." Again, a fulfillment of that dream that he had. "Behold, we be thy servants." They fell and did obeisance unto him yet again. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" That's the attitude that we ought to have as well. Are we in the place of God? Are we in the place of God to bring judgment? "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." God had a bigger picture. God had something more glorious in mind. And if we have patience, and if we have long-suffering, and if we wait upon the Lord, we will see his hand at work. And it is a glorious plan that he does, because God's ways are much greater than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. And so Joseph says unto them, "Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. A beautiful life of one who personified the commandments of the Lord, who lived out his will, and did what God would have us to do. When we read God's commands, and when we see that he says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you," that we can think, by God's grace, I can do that. Joseph did it. My circumstance might be hard, but Joseph's circumstances were much worse, and he did it. By God's grace, I can do it too. We are to live out our faith. The Bible teaches that us that in James, that we can't just say that, well, we have faith, but we are to exercise works with our faith. And we are to demonstrate that the Spirit of God is alive in us. And we might be going through some difficult thing. We might be treated spitefully, despitefully. But we are to do good and lend and love and do good unto those who would do evil against us. So may God bless his word upon our hearts in this evening. Amen.
There are certainly many lessons to be learned in the story of Joseph. The thought of the brothers who had sold him into Egypt because they were envious. We see what envy can do. And we think about their lives after they sold their brother into slavery. That at home, they never revealed that to their father. They lied to their father. They told him he's dead. And so you can think of over the years, every time that family got together, there's an empty chair there, one that Joseph used to sit in, and he's not there. And that had to have pricked them every time. They had to have thought about what they've done, so that they had a guilty conscience, and that's visible, that's seen here. But we see what truth. Joseph was guilt-free. He had no guilt. He was at peace. Throughout his being sold into slavery, throughout what had taken place, God was always with him, but he had suffered greatly, much turmoil and many questions and so on, but he still stayed faithful. But we see when the brothers come together, they're all antsy because they're guilty. They have no rest. They have no peace. And they're standing before a man who they do not even have one clue that this is their brother. They think he's some regal-looking Egyptian who has all the power, all the food. And they traveled a great distance they traveled just to get food. What a man will travel just to get the bare necessities, the simple food. What about spiritual food? How hungry and thirsty are we for righteousness, for his word? That's God. How hungry and thirsty are we? How far would we travel for his word? The brothers here, guilty, are standing here, and they don't know what to do with themselves. But we see Joseph towards the end here. He tests them again to see, are their hearts still filled with the envy that they had against him, the jealousies, as he tests them with their youngest brother, Benjamin. And he sees that they're purged of that jealousy and envy. God can humble a man in a way that no one can. And dear ones, we have to ask ourselves, Joseph being sold, being accused, being imprisoned, rising up, and so on, he was always steadfast. He was not afraid to be examined and cross-examined. Truth is not afraid. The guilty are. And they're just coming before Joseph, a man who has the power to not give them any food and to cast them into prison and to they never see the light of day again. They know he has that authority. And they tremble before him. And they bow before him, just as the dream was given to Joseph. It's all being fulfilled as was spoken of. And dear ones, to come before a God, the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things seen, to stand before him without the blood of the Lamb, having washed our way and purged our conscience, to be guiltless, to stand before him guilty. There's not much cross-examination needed. I don't know you. You didn't love me. I don't know you. There's no escape. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to turn. You're guilty. But imagine when that day is approaching, that the Lord is returning, and to be able to come before him in truth. I gave my heart. I love the Lord. I love his return. Nothing to think, oh no, I'm not at peace with this brother. I was envious of this one. I did this. Now what? It's all too late. When you're guilty, you're guilty. And so, dear ones, we see here so many things unfolding in the life of Joseph, and there's so many lessons to be taken from it. But as the brother expounded this evening about having a heart of mercy and forgiveness and so on, that's our Lord. And he says, learn of me. And so it is our prayer this evening that truly we would look to see that our hearts would be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that we could have truth and righteousness in every aspect of our life, so we don't fear examinations and cross-examinations of any kind. Truth is not afraid. And may we also live that, live our lives with no fear, because we live in the truth of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.